Three times a year we gather like this for prayer, the beginning of the new year and before the election of officers and then before the beginning of the new church calendar. And on those occasions, I look for opportunities to reflect on prayer with you in a brief meditation. So we'll be doing that tonight as well as we look to Romans chapter 8. And I invite you to stand for the reading of God's Word. From Romans 8. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, and who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. This is the word of the Lord. So let me begin with a question. How is your prayer life? I mean, really, on a scale of 1 to 10, how would you say your prayer life is? That question humbles every Christian. I have never heard anyone answer that question saying, "Oh, it's great, awesome, it couldn't be better." No one says that. If you are at all like me, you feel that your prayer life is inadequate, that it's weak, that it's certainly less than what you would hope it was. Even the Apostle Paul expresses the same sentiment. Notice when he says we, when he's talking to the Romans about prayer, we don't know how to pray as we ought. We are weak, and it is our weakness that the Spirit needs to address. So let's just go ahead and say it up front and out loud and own it, that our weakness is a given, and that we need help in our weakness is a given. And God gives us the help we need. Notice, when God gives us the help in our weakness, he doesn't then take our weakness away and transform us into some strong man of prayer. No, we remain constantly dependent on God so that he may be glorified and that his power might be revealed and it might be perfected in our weakness. I mean, how many times have I not said that prayer is always our declaration of dependence? We're all weak. We all have weak prayer lives. And this weakness and this inadequacy in our prayer is not surprising to God. In fact, he never intended that our prayers should be left to our own devices and to our unaided abilities, that it was purely up to us. Feeling weak and inadequate in prayer is how we come before God, always. We never grow out of it. Now, the Apostle Paul does something rather remarkable here in chapter 8 in Romans. He pulls back the veil of heaven, and he gives us a glimpse of this most amazing prayer meeting. I mean, did you know that there was a prayer meeting going on in heaven right now? we are being prayed for in heaven. Jesus is there at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf to the Father, and the Holy Spirit is on speakerphone, as it were, calling in from our hearts and interceding for us here on earth. I think we would be greatly encouraged in our souls if we were to reflect on these passages, meditate on them, take them to heart. So let's just take a little closer look at what's going on in this prayer meeting and what Jesus and the Holy Spirit are praying for us. Every believer has two intercessors, one in heaven and one on earth in our hearts. In essence, as strange as it sounds, God is praying to God for us. That's something worth reflecting on. Paul puts them both together here in Romans 8. This is the only mention of the Spirit's intercession for us, but there are several other texts where we know of Jesus' intercession for us. So the Holy Spirit intercedes within us. Jesus intercedes for us before the Father. The Spirit on earth, Jesus in heaven. The Spirit helping us to pray, Jesus pleading our cause. The Spirit addressing our weakness and our ignorance, Jesus addressing our sin and need for acceptance. I'm going to look at these things back and forth as we go through this. So the Holy Spirit intercedes because of our weakness. And our weakness is not merely that we don't know what to pray. We don't even know how to pray. And he doesn't just tell us what to pray and how to pray. He prays with us and for us. When words fail us, he engages. He goes deep, interceding with groanings too deep for words. Now, there are times when we don't know what God is doing. We don't know whether we should ask for healing or for grace to endure what we're in the midst of. We don't know whether a particular trial should be removed or whether it will be continued. We don't know what God's larger purposes are. We cannot put our deepest desires into words. Even Paul, he pleaded with God three times to remove that thorn in the flesh. But he didn't know. And God did not answer that prayer. So we say, Lord, I don't know what to ask. And the Spirit says, I know. And he takes up our cause on our behalf. So the Spirit's intercession here in Romans 8:26 relates to our weaknesses. Christ's intercession here in Romans 8:34 relates to our sin and to the possibility of condemnation. Look at that sequence of phrases there in, I guess it starts in 34. Or before that, who shall bring a charge against the elect? It is God who justifies. Well, who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died, and more than that, he's raised, and he's at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. So what is this charge? Well, it's Satan and our own consciences and our own sin condemning us before God. So the great question is my sin ultimately separating me from God, keeping me from God? And Paul answers, no. And why not? Because Christ died and was raised, and he's at the Father's right hand, and he is interceding for us. It's as though Christ is saying, Father, don't look at what they have done. Look at what I have done for them. There's his intercession. Christ takes his finished righteousness, his perfect obedience, and he presents us before the Father in his perfect merit. As we just confessed this morning or heard in the assurance this morning from 1 John 2:1. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So the Spirit is dealing with the inadequacy of our prayers, and Christ is dealing with the inadequacy of our righteousness. When we're weak, the Spirit is strong. When we're sinful, Jesus is perfect. The Spirit helps us to endure sufferings and things that we don't understand. And Christ guarantees that that suffering will not ultimately separate us from God or destroy us. The Spirit turns our inexpressible groaning into prayer according to God's will, and Christ's own righteousness stands between us and our condemnation. And so we are held on both sides. So when we think we are praying, when we think that we are praying when we pray, we're not alone. The Spirit is helping us pray more than we know. And we don't realize how much we owe in our prayer lives to the grace of God and His mercy and goodness. And what is He praying? Well, He helps us, He enables us to bring our needs, our concerns, our desires, our deepest longings before the Father. And the Spirit knows the will of the Father and enables us to pray or to make our prayers in accordance to His will. We can be confident the Father will answer His prayers on our behalf. If we don't know what to say, if we're at a complete loss for words, if we feel utterly inadequate, we can't get the words out, the Spirit is in you with groans we can't hear. And the Spirit takes our groanings and He turns them into intercessions beyond our capacity to express them. And better yet, He expresses our longings so that they're perfectly understood by the Father and perfectly in keeping with His will, which is best for us. Now, some of you might be racing ahead and thinking, okay, if Jesus and the Holy Spirit are already interceding for us, then why do we need to pray? And aren't they way better at it than us? Fair questions. And of course, we have all the Scripture to guide us away from that thought. The Holy Spirit does not pray so that we can be silent. Instead, He lives inside us to prompt us, to help us, to guide us in our prayers. The Spirit works to overcome our reluctance to pray, and He gives us the desire to pray. This truth about what the Spirit and the Son are doing in praying is meant to encourage us to pray. And it's meant to embolden us to pray. It's meant to make us confident that our prayers will be heard and they'll be rendered acceptable and answered according to God's best. So when you feel weak, when you're suffering, you're in the midst of sickness, you're feeling futility in life, you're wrestling with failed plans or with baffling afflictions or hard to figure out decisions, don't despair. Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father, to use prayer to align our hearts with God's will. We pray because prayer builds a relationship, a personal relationship with God. And it expresses again and again our daily dependence on Him. Jesus and the Holy Spirit empower our prayers, and they complete our prayers rather than replacing our voice. Do you know how loved you are? That the Holy Spirit of God is in you, loving you, caring for you, helping you, bringing your deepest needs and prayers before God, and making them perfectly acceptable to God. the Holy Spirit is praying for you. And do you know how loved you are that the Son of God, while we were weak and helpless and still sinners, died for us and now is seated at the right hand of the Father and ever lives to serve us and intercede for us before the Father? This is not just some, you know, Wednesday night prayer meeting in heaven. This is 24/7. We have two divine intercessors praying for us right now. One in our hearts, who makes our prayers acceptable to God according to His will, and the other in heaven, making us acceptable to God according to His own sacrifice. So take to heart these passages. I urge you to reflect on them, meditate on them. And I close with the other great text in this regard from Hebrews 4:14. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us draw near with confidence that we have this great high priest who intercedes for us and who has sent His own Spirit to be in us to pray and help us. Let's pray. Jesus, teach us what to pray and how to pray. We are so inadequate and we fall so far short. We ask too little and we ask too infrequently. This Christian life that you hold out to us is impossible without dependent, persistent prayer. We need you to help us to pray by your Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, guide all of us who struggle in prayer and prod those who need a wake-up call. And Father, thank you that you are sovereign, that you are the one true prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God. And would you help us to see your answers when they may not be what we asked for, what we wanted. Make yourself our wholehearted desire, that we might be godly, loyal, devoted, wholehearted, committed to you, so that we might fulfill your purposes for us in your creation, to glorify your name forever. And all of this we ask of you as we begin this new year together, and we ask it boldly and confidently, believing in the strong name of Jesus, our great high priest and our Savior. And we all say, Amen.